We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Sarah Grooms. Sarah is a group vice president with Town Bank and has been with the bank for over 15 years. Sarah joined the staff in May of 2011 and now serves as a regional team leader for treasury management sales. She graduated from Carroll University with a bachelor's degree in business finance. In 2005, Sarah completed the WBA's Graduate School of Banking at UW-Madison and has additionally earned her Certified Treasury Professional designation. She completed her Master's of Science in Applied Economics at Marquette University with an international specialization in 2016. In addition to all the education, Sarah is very involved in serving on a number of boards, including being an ambassador for the Milwaukee chapter of Bossed Up. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Lori.
I am very excited for this conversation, especially because of the diversity in your community service involvement.
Thanks, yeah.
To get started, let's talk a little bit more about Bossed Up. What is Bossed Up and how did this specific gathering called this Power Hour start in Milwaukee?
Sure. Well, thanks for asking. So Bossed Up is, it's a movement. It's an initiative started out in DC about 3 or 4 years ago by a woman named Emily Aries, who really realized that the dream, the have it all is just this never ending myth that women are trying to chase after, and that there are a lot of resources these days for women who want to find out better ways to negotiate and move up the ladder and all of the work stuff. But that if you don't have your relational life and your health in order, you can't achieve fully at work. And so it's really kind of a three-pronged approach using data-backed, data-driven research around how to achieve more and grow. And when we say be a boss or be bossed up, it's not about becoming a CEO, although if that's your goal, that's awesome. What it's really more about is making sure you own your life and you are doing what you want to do, you're setting those goals, and you have a supportive, what we call a courage community around you of like-minded, ambitious women, that ambition is not a bad thing, and that we can all achieve more together. We're big believers in lift as we climb as well. And so historically, it's not really been that there have been great support groups for professional women that sort of reach back and say, hey, we can all do this together. We're not competing. It's not that there's this fixed pie, right? That there's, if we all achieve more, we all achieve more. Mm-hmm. These are all good things that we can go after together. So I've been following them for a while. They're very social media. It's kind of along the lines, I'm into Lavo League and Career Contessa and Lean In and all of those movements. And mm-hmm. So I found Bossed Up just because of all the connectivity amongst those similar organizations. But where I noticed the big difference was these pieces around your personal life, your health, and your family. Because yep. I have a family, and I want to achieve all of this. I'm motioning, which doesn't come across in a yep. podcast, but there you go.
I can hear it.
You know, yeah. You want to achieve it all, but I want to be a great mom, and I want to be a great wife, and I want to be involved in my community and everything else and be supportive and giving back. And so that's why it really resonated with me. Well, shortly into following the group, they put out a call for Bossed Up ambassadors, which they turned into ambassadors, as you mentioned. And mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I have to do a ton of networking for work anyway. Why not run it? I know lots of women that I think would really resonate with this message. And frankly, at the time, every coffee I was having, every lunch I was having, breakfast meetings, they were all turning into the weariness factor, the weariness that is out there in women who just know that they can have more, just don't know how to, and don't have maybe the support network around them. Maybe their family isn't cheering them on. Maybe their friend group is, you know, happy where they are, and they feel like, why am I different? Why do I, you know, am I the only one? And I was having so many conversations at the exact same time that I really felt called to put my name in the hat. And mm-hmm. you had to fill out this huge application and send in all your social and your bio and your resume and everything else. And I got an interview, and we were one of the first, I think, six cities when I received the ambassadorship. So Milwaukee was one of the first cities that they launched these grassroots groups in. Because the other thing about Bossed Up that's so great is that nobody has an ego around, I'm from Washington, D.C., and I'm here to help. Because we all know how well it goes off in Milwaukee when people come from other cities telling us they're here to help. Uh-huh. And so Emily's a huge believer in grassroots and really felt that, you know, if you can have a local person that has a local network, that's how you get the reach to get these resources into the hands of the women that need them. So that's how I became the ambassador. And then, so these events where we gather are called Power Hour, where it's different from other groups is that there's no membership fee, there's nothing to join, anything like that. You come as you are, you bring your friends, it's not exclusive, it's, you know, where you're at is great, and, you know, how are we going to get to whatever is next and whatever that means for you.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I've attended mm-hmm. one of these events, and that's where I'm just totally intrigued with the concept overall, you know, and I can definitely resonate with the weariness and the pains and, you know, I want to do it all.
Right.
I got to wear this hat and this right. hat and this hat and this hat.
Oh,
but
exactly.
then, you know, you're just kind of done.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
no energy.
Oh, completely and total.
And,
yeah, worn out.
And so this is a fantastic group. And I really love that there's no memberships. You know,
yeah.
It's not like an exclusive club
right.
or, you know, someone has to vouch for you. It's just, you know, a welcoming community. So
yeah, well, that's what something we really, really strive for is not only everything you're saying to be inclusive, but inclusive across different types of work, inclusive across all the different ethnic groups and everything. And so just making it a really safe space for women to come, to gather, to be real, to not have to be the happy networking face, right? Because we've all been to all the networking events. And how does it go? Hey, good to meet you. I'm Sarah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. How's business? Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm busy. Good. Yeah. Good, busy. Good, busy. You know, and that's happy plastic people. And
uh-huh.
no one ever dives down. In fact, I'm exhausted, actually. You know, someone just screwed up my dissertation and my kids are driving me nuts and I have no idea when this is going to happen and, you know, what's really going on behind the happy plastic smile. And so this is a place where you can say, not only this, sometimes this is hard and that's okay. And it's still valuable and it's still worth it, right? The hard is what makes it good.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we have to pretend that everything's, you know, sunshine and roses all the time. We
yeah.
can get real with that. And so I think that that's really valuable for women. And like I said, the permission to be ambitious, because women aren't always given that.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's just in a matter of how they were brought up, whether it's the people they hang out with, you know, their family, immediate family, extended family, et cetera, work, you know, there's plenty of places that don't necessarily support women going beyond a certain point still. And so knowing that you're not the weirdo because you want more out of your career is no matter what your career is. I think that that's a really invigorating, energizing thing to kind of, and that's why we call it Power Hour, because that's really the vibe that people leave with. It's like, wow, this is such a great community.
Yeah, no, I can absolutely acknowledge that statement.
Good. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I just want to comment. I love that phrase, happy plastic people.
Oh, I stole it from a band called Casting Crowns.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Great song.
So not original.
No,
Sarah.
I'll always give credit where credit's due.
Absolutely.
And I will take credit when it is my own original idea.
Okay, great. So how are you going about reaching new people every month for these meetings and really spreading the message about Bossed Up?
Yeah, so... So Bossed Up is very big in social media platform, and I would say it really caters to, while everyone's included and invited and welcome, it definitely caters to the millennial crowd. So it's very social media driven.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, it's amazing how many people find it on Eventbrite and come. And they've
yeah.
never heard of it, and they don't know anyone there, and they've just been looking for networking group women or something like that, and up pops Bossed Up, and they enter the door. And I always try and do a good job, you know, finding out how people found out about
sure.
it if they weren't brought by somebody I know, and so that's been really intriguing to see. Are you familiar with the term male allies?
No.
So that was a new one to me too when I started doing this. But okay. Another way that I've reached people beyond, because my circle is very, you know, obviously financial business focused,
sure.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
So I tried to reach out a couple different ways and I'm like, okay, how can I expand the breadth? And so one of the things I did is I've got plenty of men in my life, we all do, who want everything I said for the women in their lives,
yep.
Whether it's coworkers, whether it's, daughters, sisters, wives, mm-hmm. friends, whomever, and the women in their life that they're like, oh, I know she's struggling with this and she needs this community of courage around her. And so I have several men in my life that professionally will I will send it to, and they'll send it. I have one. Do you know Joaquin El Toro? Mil Joaquin, as we like to call him.
So he's
fantastic. And I happen to work with him. He's fantastic. And first time I sent it to him, I said, hey, this is something new I'm doing. I really want to make sure that I'm including as many women as I can in the community. Would you mind sending it out to your network? Thinking he'd send it to, you know, 2 or 3 people. He sent it to 75 people.
Wow.
And got such great responses. And then really the cool thing is that then they come and then they invite people.
Yes.
And then they invite people.
Yep.
And so every time I'm meeting all of these people that I never knew, and you know, I've been around town a long time. I feel like I'm pretty well networked and I'm constantly meeting new people because of this, which is awesome. In all different types of industries and everything else. So that's one way, you know, the first time I had a meeting, it really was my core, right? My core group of business connections and area friends who I said, hey, I would love for you to come to this.
Mm-hmm.
And even more, even if you can't come, would you forward it to 5 or 10 people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so giving people that specific, like, oh, I can send it to 5 people. Because if you say, oh, could you just send it to people? That's
sure.
not good enough direction. So,
yep.
So reaching out within my network to then reach their networks. I've done a ton of stuff on LinkedIn. I know I've heard you mention in the past on this podcast how great LinkedIn posts are.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I was shocked.
Yep.
So I did my first one actually after my first event. I can't believe how many page views it's still getting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's been crucial, I think. And then all the social media and so leading up to the events, I do all of that myself locally. Then Bossed Up also posts stuff. So it's on the Bossed Up national website. They retweet everything, repost everything, and are constantly doing that. And then once someone comes, or even if they can't come, even if they say they're going to come and they don't, then you're on the list.
Yep.
So then going forward, you get the email saying, hey, Milwaukee, our next event is here at this time. Registration is always free, but you know, you got to sign up. So click through and sign up. So those are the major ways that we've been spreading that message of the events themselves.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You're doing a great job of leveraging your own network and then
Thanks.
Really diving into your network's network.
Right. Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not going to ask the question around social media because you kind of dove into that a little bit.
Oh, sure.
But I do want to know what your favorite networking story or experience is.
Oh, gosh. So many. You know, I'll pull one from the Bossed Up meeting that I had in January, if that's okay.
Sure.
I think that it's always amazing how people, I don't believe in coincidence, so I'll just say that right up front. And so, you know, people are in your life at certain times for certain reasons mm-hmm. and in each other's lives for certain times at certain reasons. And so I had an event in January and it was at Central Standard, right in the
sure.
fifth ward there.
Yep.
And first woman walked in and we started chit-chatting and she's telling me, it was just after New Year's, and I said, so what do you do, you know, professionally? And she said, well, I just became the CEO of my own company. I was like, oh my gosh, congratulations. Like, how did this happen? And she went on to tell me that she graduated from school with a degree in social work and went into social work and mm-hmm. got a job and everything else and loved the work of it. And she was particularly focused on helping underprivileged families find housing. And social work doesn't pay much. And
mm-hmm.
so she very quickly was like, wow, I went through 4 years of school and are working this hard for that. I got to figure something else
sure.
out. So she found a way on the side to start a real estate business. And she started finding properties in these same areas where there are just not great housing options for these families.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling like someone who's like, I care. I love my city. I care about these people. I can be a landlord. I can do this. And so she started buying a duplex here and fixing it up and a 4-family there and an 8-family there. And on the side, right, everything is the side hustle these days, right?
Yep.
So on the side, she amassed this nice little portfolio of properties that got her to the point over the course of, I think, 4 years, that got her to the point where she can now just do real estate. And so she's working with the same families, using that social work background and doing it for herself and doing it really to, you know, to benefit the same community that she cares about so much. So I was like, wow, what a great, this is amazing and everything else. And she's telling me all these other little ancillary things. So maybe 5-6 people later, another woman walks in and I said, oh, so what are you doing, you know, these days professionally? And I honestly don't even remember what she said her official job is, because the next thing she told me was, but you know, I really have this new passion for real estate and I just bought my first duplex.
Oh,
and I, you know, I want to look into figuring out how do you, you know, go. And I was like, oh my gosh, you have to talk to this woman.
Uh-huh.
She just did this. And that's exactly what she's doing now. You guys have to connect and everything else. So showing up and being present and then being real about, you know, not only what your current career is, but what your side passions are. I also find that Milwaukee is just a place where people want to help each other. And I've heard that from people who've moved here from elsewhere and who have said things like, I don't think I could have been as successful anywhere else because people here just truly want to help each other.
Yep.
And I really find that to be the case. So it's just a community of giving people. And I'm really privileged to be a part of that. So that was a really cool story where they connected. So it's not necessarily a networking story of my own, but one
well,
where...
Well, you made it happen.
Well, I presented the platform, but they made it happen.
Yep.
And
yep.
So just watching that happen was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
I couldn't even believe it. It was great.
But both of them are going to remember you now.
I hope so. But that's not why I'm doing it. But it is. It's, you know, someone asked me the other day, like, why are you doing this? What are you getting out of this? And for a second, I was like, well, that's kind of a cynical question, but that's okay because I'm that way sometimes. And I'm just like, you know, I'm not getting like, oh, is it a ton of new business coming the way of your bank? Is it? No, that's not really what this is. This is what I wish existed when I was 25.
Sure.
You know, yep. And so that was a while ago and none of this kind of stuff was around back
yep.
then. And it's not about, oh, we're women, so let's have special treatment or different treatment. It's that it is different and that we can help each other and we can do more to help each other than we're currently doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's really what it's about for me. So honestly, so to answer that question, like, what's this doing for you? Seeing these young ladies who are now going to just be that much more, find their goals that much more achievable. Mm-hmm. That's what's doing for me. It's me giving back to my 25-year-old self.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. It's great. And it is rewarding to see other people have connections, positive connections
yeah.
that kind of were triggered by, you know, the actions that you executed.
Yeah, yeah.
Making them
yeah, it's
happen.
Really fun.
Thanks for sharing that story with
sure.
us.
Sure.
So you have a fairly large network, obviously. You're involved in a number of organizations and... obviously with your work and whatnot. What do you do to stay in front of or best nurture your network?
So that's a great question. I have the privilege of working in a career and in a job where I'm expected to network. Now, obviously it's a good match for my personality. So that's a plus. At the same time, I actually just kind of culled my LinkedIn the other day because I'm one of these firm believers that your LinkedIn should truly be people who you know well enough that either you wouldn't have a problem with them calling you or you feel like comfortable that you can call them,
uh-huh.
right? So I think
yep.
that's kind of your standard definition. So I believe in that. And I realized that over the course of time, I had amassed all of these connections that I really, you know, I almost had to like click on the picture and then wait, and then scroll back. Like, how did I meet this person?
Yep.
So to me, I'm kind of like, okay, we've clearly lost touch. And that's okay, you know, I never want to have happen, which happened to me a couple of weeks ago, which is exactly why I took the time to do this, which it did take some time, is somebody at work called me and said, hey, I see you know so-and-so. We were just trying to call on their company. Would you mind calling with me and saying, you know, we'd love to talk to you. And
yeah.
I'm like, who?
Yeah. Yep.
And I was like, oh my gosh, it finally happened. I've gotten too many people on LinkedIn.
Yep.
So I took that time. So what I do though to stay in front of the people that I really want to cultivate is, you know, you're kind of your standard carving out intentional time to be together either in a group setting or in a one-on-one. So coffee, lunch, breakfast, what have you. I go to a lot of events and things like that. And so that's a good way over time you sort of develop a sense of who's going to be where. And, you know that based on a topic or based on the networking event or the outing that, oh, you know what, if I go to this, I'm probably going to see 8 people that I should be keeping in touch with. And so
mm-hmm.
that's a really good use of time, is to keep those connections going. So, unfortunately, I don't think there's a magic formula for it. I think I had the leeway in my job to make it happen, and it's an expectation. So that's a real gift of time. Because I know not everyone has that kind of privilege.
Yeah. I love that you said to carve out intentional time
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
be together.
Yeah.
Like you're actually saying, I'm designating this piece of time to connect with you.
Right.
I think that's great. Yeah, and really, you commented on just showing up and being present and being real overall. I think that's mm-hmm. really powerful as well. Really good, and it is really important. I think the comment around LinkedIn, it is overwhelming, actually.
It really is.
If you are networking, like you and I are both, I would say, just crazy networkers. Yeah. And then, you know, you look at your connections and you say, oh, I connected with this person 4 years ago, but I have not talked to them once since this connection was made, and I don't even remember the conversation we had.
Right.
It puts you in a weird spot. So right. either you have to be intentional about consistently kind of nurturing that relationship, or figure out whether or not, you know, you want them to be a part of your network.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, you know, it's not that I want to like cut people out by
sure.
any means.
Yep.
And it's not to say like if they needed something, I wouldn't be happy to help. It's more around who do I think is going to provide the most mutually beneficial relationship, because all of our time is so precious.
Mm-hmm.
We all only have the same 168 hours a week.
Yep.
So how can I take the most precious resource time and make sure that I'm not only providing enough value to the relationship on my end, that I'm also doing that with people who can reciprocate if an opportunity arises, if I earn that opportunity.
Well, that's really what this show's about, right?
I think so. I didn't even have notes on that. I'm just
yeah, reciprocity, I think, is definitely important, because you don't want to be taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be that person that is taking advantage of others as
right.
well.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
But really, at the end of the day, it is about the value that goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
I would go back to that same word, intentional. I would say, you know, make sure that you're, because it's so easy to, you could go to something every night of the week, but is it really where you want to be? Is it really going to provide you the value? So I would start by getting clear with why you want to network, not just networking for networking's sake. So are you networking because of a side thing that you're doing? Are you, and so you should be, you know, you want to start a website, so you want to be meeting with tech people, or are you doing it for in your business role? So you really want to be somewhere where, you know, in my world in banking, so you'd be wanting to meet with, you know, CEOs and CFOs and finance professional type people who can, and or, you know, attorneys and CPAs who might be willing to, you know, give you a look at their business. So, you know, why are you networking? And then go from there. There's so much going on in Milwaukee. We have an abundance of opportunities here. And mm-hmm. so really figuring out, where are those people going to be? And then, you know, what of value am I going to bring? I would say be, you know, there's all sorts of ways to try and be interesting when you get in the conversation. So, you know, if you said, okay, I want to meet insert name of CEO here, what a value are you going to bring to them if you end up actually talking to them,
uh-huh.
you know? And so like if I said, okay, I want to meet Lori. So I'm going to go scope out her website. Oh, she likes hockey. Oh, she likes Batman. Well, if I bump into her, I'm going to start bringing something up about those kinds
sure,
of things.
Absolutely.
Right. Right. And so, you know, what about that person? And that's where LinkedIn and social media and everything to me becomes so valuable, because you know, when I started my career, none of that existed.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't, you know, you had to do the old, once you finally got in their office, oh, I see you went fishing last summer. Oh,
yeah.
My husband likes to fish. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, is that a muskie? Oh, nice fish. You know, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah,
yep.
whatever. Whereas really what they would much rather talk about is the picture you didn't see of their kid playing football or,
uh-huh.
you know, whatever. And so, you know, really, really being able to call that, being intentional about who you want to meet, then being intentional about what am I going to bring to the conversation
mm-hmm.
That no one else is, because that's how you're going to differentiate yourself.
Yep.
Right. So there's a CEO in town who is very, very well known, and I happen to know him. And whenever we get together, I basically ask him about, oh, have you gone to Disney lately?
Yeah.
Because the one time I was talking to him and, you know, it was kind of, you could see he was kind of getting wary of all the little business conversations.
Sure.
And then I said, oh, how's your wife doing? Oh, good. We're going to Florida. And oh, really? What are you doing down there at Disney? And start talking and talking and talking about it. Just lit up to talk
yeah.
about his grandkids.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to remember that, because we talked. I never would have gotten that much time with him otherwise,
yeah.
except, you know, it was something a little bit different. So trying to be memorable that way.
Yeah, no, that's really important, I think, to understand what is the conversation that's going to connect with that person
mm-hmm.
that you're trying to get in front
yeah.
of. You probably saw my eyes lit up when you mentioned hockey.
Yes.
Yes, you have my attention now.
I was like, oh, I think I need to find a little figurine of Batman playing hockey. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Wouldn't that be cool? That's what I thought of when I read your website. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Okay. What I really liked here is kind of your why, where, and what. So absolutely, why do you want to network? Why? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's... goes back to, you know, Simon Sinek, start with why. I mean, it's not for who you are, but is also kind of the actions. You know, you have to understand the why in everything that you're doing. I think that's really important. But also the where is extremely valuable, because even if you understand the why, you have to be positioning yourself in that right spot. And then what value you're bringing to the table, I think is really important too. Because again, it all comes down to that. The value proposition being posed to, is this relationship going to be beneficial or not?
Mm-hmm. And I think too, you know, recognizing that not every relationship is, and it's not that we're trying to take advantage of people, or it's not that, you know, oh, well, I'm not going to talk to them because they can't do anything for me.
Correct.
But on the flip side of that, if you can't do anything for them and they can't do everything for you, like, it's cool to hang out and everything. But at the same time, if you're doing it, especially from a professional perspective and for your company, for your business, you only have so many hours in the day. So maybe you think the person's cool and you guys can grab a Brewers game on Saturday night or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to go to coffee at 7 a.m, you know, what are you going to be doing that both of you are going to get something out of that you can help moving forward in business together?
Yeah, and I would agree with you in that it doesn't always have to be business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
I mean, the relationships, I think there's a lot of, it's very gray. It's not black and white. This is only a business relationship, or this is only a personal relationship. There's definitely crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one day may be heavy on the professional side, where the next time it's heavy on the personal side.
Yeah.
And so that value isn't just equal to dollars in a pocket because a business transaction
was absolutely
being made. There's a lot more things. Value can mean a lot of different things.
Absolutely. Well, and I love that, you know, one of my favorite things is when I meet people in the business circles who I really like, and now it's like, oh, this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes both. And that's really neat too.
Yeah. I always find it fascinating when you're connecting with someone, you've built this professional relationship,
mm-hmm.
and you have this long-standing professional relationship, and then all of a sudden you find that there's common ground in the personal space as well, and you just get even more excited about the person and the relationship and the activities that you can do, kind of, because you enjoy the professional side of that relationship.
Yeah.
You enjoy the conversation and the value that you're both bringing to the table, and I think it just increases that energy when you identify that there's a personal connection as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. So this one, I'm excited to ask, because you covered both the social media impacts, but also like the Bossed Up events are all face-to-face mm-hmm. and in-person.
Mm-hmm.
So digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
So if we put LinkedIn aside, because I really think that the vast majority, again, you really can't these days, right? That's the problem. So I think that I find that when I connect with someone in person, then it's really nice to connect with them on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found many areas where social media drives things outside of originally knowing people in person.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. And so, like, I haven't found a spot yet where it's only social. You know what I mean? So to me, I think that when you see someone face to face, when you're making eye contact, when you're seeing their body language, all of that, you know, 93% of our communication is still body language,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's hard for me to say, oh, well, if you just hop on LinkedIn, you can grow this prolific network and suddenly you're going to have all of these benefits on the side. Now, ironically, Bossed Up, I found on social media.
Yeah.
Right? So it's interesting. I think that now I do think it too, that it's kind of generation specific. So I have I kind of sit on the line between Gen X and millennial. And so from a technology side, I think I trend younger. And so that to me was the kind of the break point where it's like, I found out about all of that
mm-hmm.
via social media and got the ambassadorship. And then how I launched everything was all by people I knew in person.
Okay.
So while we used email and LinkedIn and all the social media platforms to advertise person,
sure,
and so then they reached their networks and they reached their networks and they reached their networks. So while social media is very important for kind of your general awareness, mm-hmm, and is super important from that perspective, had I not had the in-person network, I don't think it would have launched as successfully.
Yep.
Like, I don't think I could have just created these events in a social media vacuum.
Okay. I can understand that. There's a lot of points I wanted to cover. And
sure. Yeah, no, I was thinking about that question a lot because I was thinking, well, it's funny. It's just really ironic because I really think that the in-person is where your deepest connections are made. And it's hard to imagine the success without social media. But the flip side of that is the social media was really aided by the personal connections that I already had.
Absolutely.
So it's both and to me.
And it's expanding the reach. And the place that I learned about Bossed Up was in the digital space.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So that's fun because I always try and when you sign in for an event, I changed the registration form. So it's, you know, you're checking off your name or using your Eventbrite or whatever. But then I added a space for how did you find out about us?
Yep.
And I would say maybe probably 65 to 70% of people say something like from a friend.
Yep.
So then 30 to 35% of people are finding it on social.
Yep.
And or Eventbrite, sure, which I think is social media.
Yep.
Now you're in the social media space though.
Yes.
So it makes perfect sense that you found it there.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I think that it really is both and. I would not be successful just doing it with my network, nor would we want to.
Uh-huh.
Because frankly, the early to mid career professional woman that I'm trying to reach is very social media in tune.
Yep.
So I think it's both and.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good conversation right there.
Thanks.
Okay. So if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Sure. So this is one of the other main reasons that I wanted to do this ambassadorship because I have a pretty severe story of burnout in my mid-20s. And I always joke that I had a a quarter century crisis before that was a thing. Like now everyone's having them. I think I paved the way on that. But so part of that, a big chunk of that burnout was that I was trying to do everything and be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I have since gone much deeper rather than broad, right? So instead of being a little bit of me everywhere, I'm finding more and more causes or outlets that I want to be really intentional about and really dedicated to.
Uh-huh.
Because I think you show up more fully and you're giving more of yourself to that organization, you're going to show up at a higher level, which then feeds back into the networking side, right? So when you're on a board of directors or if you're, you know, doing an event like this or something like this, you have to do it all the way or it's not going to be successful.
Correct.
And then you're the one that's going to look bad, not necessarily even the organization, right? So if you're trying to build a network for yourself, 20-year-old Sarah, you know, you really need to be doing it in a place where you really care, because that's one of the ways that you're going to show up most fully, and then not try to stretch yourself too thin. And, you know, all people want to be liked and want to say yes and want to be helpful and everything else. And women in particular have a big yes problem,
mm-hmm,
right? They're going to say yes to everything. I've actually never been that way. So that really hasn't been as much of an issue for me as it was that at the time I was in a totally new market where I didn't know anybody. And I hadn't gone to the big university of that area where everyone had gone to. So I wasn't part of the alumni network. I didn't have a built-in network. There was no such thing as social media. There was no such thing as LinkedIn.
Uh-huh.
And so at the time, really the in-person grind was how you had to do it. You have to just go to everything to figure out what's most valuable and what's most useful and where your best fit is. But in the meantime, along the way, if you are a high achiever, a lot of times you get asked to do more.
Yep.
So you can't just go to a chamber meeting. You have to be a chamber ambassador. You can't just go to the breakfast. You have to get on the committee that runs the breakfasts. The other thing I've noticed is every once in a while now, I'm much better at keeping my mouth shut if I have an idea that I know I don't have time to execute. And what I mean by that is, so I'm part, like, for example, I'm part of a group that does an annual conference. And a few years ago, I was really frustrated with the way the conference was going. The numbers were kind of dwindling and that sort of thing. And it's in the business community. And I was like, I got to start helping to plan this conference because I have so many ideas and this would be so easy. And why don't they do this? And why don't they do that? Right. So I actually said that to someone I was close enough to have a candid conversation with. And they were like, oh my gosh, would you please be on the conference committee? I'm like, yes, absolutely. That's actually what I was angling for. Yeah. Great. So I got on there and I was like, oh my gosh, this was such a huge mistake. And for several reasons, but most of which the ideas that I had, I did not have time to execute. And they didn't have the resources to do it either. So really, I just ended up with everyone being frustrated. And so that kind of reinforced it for me of, you know, every once in a while, you just got to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Oh, and just wait. Gosh, I can, like, relate to that.
Right? Like, just, like, put it on the list, right? I have my 5 and 5 lists, you know, like, in the next 5 years, I want to get these 5 things accomplished. And so, you know, one of those things might be, okay, so for example, when, you know, maybe when this ambassadorship, when this bossed up ambassadorship is over, then I'm going to go run for this board because I have all these ideas. But if I start spewing them now, unless it's to someone who I know is not going to be like, you're right and you should do it.
Yep.
I can't, you know, right now. So it's always hard. It's kind of like when you're managing people and you say to them, you know what, listen, I'm open door policy and I want to hear any of your complaints that you have. And you better come to me with a solution.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you were in my shoes, then what would you do about it?
Yep.
Don't just come and complain.
Yep.
And so, and that's how I treat everything, not just work, but boards I'm on and different things. It's like, okay, this is a problem. Clearly it's a problem. People are struggling here. How am I going to solve this? And then once I can solve it, I'm going to bring it up to someone who can maybe do something about it. So trying to go deeper rather than broader. And these days, leveraging social, because like I said, you know, back when I was younger, it didn't have that option.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I mean, I tell every once in a while, I go back to Carroll University. They have me back and to talk to seniors that are coming into the workforce and all that sort of stuff, which I absolutely love, love doing. And, you know, whenever a couple people will ask the inevitable question, you know, oh, well, you know, what would you do if you were us? Or what's one last piece of advice that has nothing to do with finance, banking, business, whatever. And I'm like, you guys have the most amazing built-in resource that did not exist when I was here, and that is LinkedIn. If you are not all on LinkedIn with a fully developed profile and already all connected to each other, is a huge miss because you're going to be able to follow everyone throughout their careers. And especially in this area, having gone to Carroll, there are millions of alumni around here, but they don't necessarily know it.
Yep.
And so that to me is just a no-brainer, is to be on LinkedIn using that resource. And then the other piece of advice I always give about student loans, but that's a totally different topic for another day.
That's your financial background.
Yeah, exactly. Always kicking in.
Wow, you shared so many fantastic pieces there. I want to just circle back to a couple of them.
Okay.
I love that you're really focusing on that deeper versus wider approach, because that conversation around just showing up at a higher level is really, really important. And I think that's the whole philosophy behind the Bossed Up, is that we're just spreading ourselves too thin.
Exactly. Exactly.
So much truth there. And as you were sharing your stories, I'm just nodding my head yes, because an idea person, you know, that's kind of my background as well. And I've got millions of ideas,
I
definitely learned. It took me a couple years to learn that if I share the idea, someone's going to expect me to do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I was the yes person.
I'm
trying to get better at that. Because I just want to help everyone.
Exactly.
But then if you're trying to help everyone, you're one, not helping yourself, and two, you're not really helping anyone at all, because you're not doing a good job.
Yeah, women are born to be nurturers, and we're always happy to help, and unfortunately to our own detriment. So it's just, you can't keep martyring yourself. You know, you have to get to a point where you're like, no, what are my priorities? And to me, you'll find that... you know, if you have kind of the, if you go through one of those personality profiles or values profiles or what have you, I did one recently and I wrote them down and I keep them on a post-it in my drawer, because whenever I'm feeling like freaked out or stressed out, you open that drawer and you're like, oh, well, no wonder I haven't tended to any of these in the last, you know, X days, weeks, months. And so really kind of then recentering and refocusing yourself on what really matters. And then adding on from there, not doing everything for everyone else and then whatever's left over.
Yes. Yep. Yep. There was a statement that came to mind that someone said to me not too long ago, that just, when you were chatting earlier, but, how do you get something done? You ask a busy person to do it.
Oh, completely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One of the boards I'm serving on right now, we've got a meeting in a week or two, and, It's a standing meeting. Everyone knows it's on your calendar. You've agreed to be on this and everything else. And it's always amazing then when the executive director will email out a reminder or whatever, how many people have things that come up at the exact same time? It's like, no, this was there first. Yep. And you agreed to be doing this.
Yep.
And, you know, I'll put my calendar up against anybody's, but these are the priorities I've carved out. And so I'm going to be there, mm-hmm. and I'm going to make that happen. And so it really is frustrating. And I'm so glad that I not only kind of realized it for myself, but then also have heard it from people in the community I respect in various forums of, if you're trying to just be everything to everybody, and you're going to be nothing to anybody mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And so to really focus on what matters and focus on what you truly care about, because otherwise, and that's the advice too, that I give young professionals just starting out, wanting to get into like board service, especially, don't just go on a board to go on a board
yep.
because it's networking, because it looks good on your resume, whatever. You have to find, and if you have to wait, then you wait. If you have to go on the auxiliary or the YP portion of the board, do that. Because if you are not doing it for a cause you truly care about, you're just going to fall flat on your face.
Yep.
At three meetings in, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, why did I do this? And oh, by the way, you're staring down a 6-year board term,
yep.
right? And
yep.
now you're just, you know, it's just going to end poorly.
Yep.
So only do things that you really care about.
I think that's extremely valuable advice right there, to get involved in the organizations that you truly, genuinely are passionate about and
mm-hmm.
believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with, and do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
I don't even know if 6 degrees is valid anymore. I feel like it's got to be 3 or 4 now.
I agree.
They've
got
to do a new study on that to me. Who would I most want to connect? So that's kind of, I have a cop-out answer because honestly, I'm not really into like celebrities and that kind of stuff. And the people I would want to meet, I'm already within a degree of. And because like you mentioned before, and this is not like a bragging point, it's more I've been around long enough that I've developed a big enough network that it's like, if I called that person and said, could you introduce me to this person? They probably would. I hope that I've earned that. The people that I want to be connected with more are people like in town where I'm just like, oh, it sure would be. Like I got to meet Tina Chang the other day from SysLogic. And I was uh-huh. just like, oh my gosh, it's Tina Chang. Like that to me is way more meaningful than like, oh my gosh, Beyonce. You know what I mean?
Sure,
because
yep.
it's like you're this amazing businesswoman that carved out a company in a city where there aren't a lot of female CEOs, in an industry where there are almost no female CEOs.
Yep.
So, I mean, to me, she is, to me, more amazing than anyone like that, you know, you can hear about internationally
sure.
or whatever. So, those kind of things are more important to me. And I think that the developing the deep network is not only, or the deep connections is not only like from a board and what you're passionate about, but in your city.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to be networked in multiple places well.
Yes.
Again, because that's the deep and the broad, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
so I work for Town Bank, as you mentioned, and have been there my whole career. So that is also another thing that's been really valuable to me. And our parent company is in the Chicagoland. And so I've kind of developed a little bit of a network there as well
mm-hmm.
through the bank. And then people leave the bank and then
sure.
you still know them and that sort of thing. But I don't consider myself networked in Chicago.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think that it's again, a place where you can really make sure you're developing those deeper connections where you are and where you want to be
mm-hmm.
As opposed to trying to go broad and international
yep.
and all of that.
Yeah. No, that's really good advice.
Thanks.
I think it absolutely makes sense. But I do agree that I think that 6 degrees of separation is kind of
right
an archaic statement nowadays.
Someone's got to do
it. It was pre-digital.
I was going to say somebody at Google's got to be able to write an algorithm to figure out what the real, is it 3, is it 4?
Sure.
It can't be more than 4 now.
Yeah.
Which isn't it amazing? Because when they did that originally, I think the world population was something like 2.5 or 3 billion. And now we're over 7. But I feel like the world's gotten smaller because of digital.
Uh-huh.
I think so.
That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah.
That, wow.
The world's like, it's getting bigger and it's shrinking.
You've piqued my
because
curiosity
of the internet.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really good.
Yeah. So I should preface that. I drive a lot and these are the things that I think about while I drive.
You should write a book about
maybe
your random
someday.
Thoughts.
Yeah, random thoughts of Sarah Grooms. You would buy it. I don't know how many others would.
Speaking of books, what are you reading right now?
Well, as I mentioned, I do. So I put 25 to 30,000 miles a year on my car. And so I'm an Audible person.
Okay.
I do read regular books,
sure.
but more actually for show for my kids, like for my own personal.
Set the example.
So yeah. I just finished I Am Malala. About sure. Molly used to sigh. And I also usually have a few going. So I finished close to simultaneously You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero.
Yep. I listened to that one book. Too.
And I always try to kind of go every other with my reading. And so kind of a personal interest that has nothing to necessarily do with work, although frankly, they're usually leaders. So it sort of bleeds in. And then like a leadership or a management or business type book. So the most recent one I read of that, I finished a few weeks ago, was H3 Leadership.
Okay, I haven't heard of that
really
one.
Really good. Mark, shoot, I'm spacing on the last name. But it's work hard, always hustle, stay hungry. I think that's the three H's. It's a really, really great book. Next up is Fenway 1912, which is about the start of Fenway and the Boston Red Sox that year and all that kind of stuff. So my uncle just gave me that. We kind of, there's, you know, you've always got people in your life that are sort of like kindred book spirits, right? And so we end up like, you know, like I, there's a great book if anyone's into the military and the Gulf War and everything, and called The Brave Ones, about a journalist who enlisted at 41 because he didn't want to be an embedded journalist. He wanted a true story of being a soldier.
Oh, wow.
Right now. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So my uncle was a Vietnam vet, and I was like, oh, this would be a great book for, you know, and he's a big military supporter. I was like, oh, he'd love this. And he had a birthday, so I gave it to him for his birthday and things like that. Yeah. So I have a tendency to have kindred book spirits, and we pass things back and forth. So, and then like I have a sister who is huge, and she's an English major and into British literature. So we read Jane, we did Jane Eyre, and then we went to the rep for our birthdays stuff and saw Jane Eyre. So it's just stuff like that. So next up is the Fenway one for personal. And then I got to find another. I've got like a list in my Audible of like what's up next. And I love Audible because it's just like Amazon or anything else where they have the algorithm. So it's like, oh, you liked this? Yep. You're probably like this. I'm like, yes, I would. Click start, you know? So that's always nice.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge Audible fan for sure. and I should definitely include a link in the show notes because I think if you've never used it before, you get a free book right
you
away,
do.
Right?
Your first book's free. Yep. And then like once you're in it, if you, you can actually send a book to somebody for free if they're not in it.
Yeah,
so they make it way too easy to subscribe and get totally addicted. Well, and I love to the other thing is I'm always listening to they have Harvard Business Review.
Yep.
Every week the Harvard Business Review is on there and you can just do that. So that's always really nice too. So I love finding management articles in there and sharing them and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a fan. And you mentioned Fenway and I'm really excited because I'm actually going to go when am I going? In August.
Oh, me too.
Okay.
For a conference, not to go to Fenway.
Well, I'm going for work, and then I'm going to hit up
go to a game.
A game.
It's so great. I got to go to a ALCS championship game there one year, and it was just fantastic.
My gosh,
it was October. It was Boston.
The energy
everything
was just crazy.
Selling clam chowder in the stands. I mean, singing Sweet Caroline. It was great. I love baseball, so it was really, really fun.
Me too. Definitely a fan. My husband and I are just trying to hit up all the parks. So
that's
whenever
great.
I have a
super bucket list item
that's in a city where there's a park, we definitely make a trip out of it.
Awesome. That's great.
So, Sarah, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
You know, I think that the main thing we talked about today is being intentional.
Yep.
Start with the end in mind is a huge motto of mine and of every facet of life. And so, you know, where do you want to be? And then really think through how you're going to get there. And, you know, I would say don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, I talked before about the male ally thing as it relates to Bossed Up. And you know, if I had just tried to do that myself, there's no way it would have been a tenth as successful. And so when you have built that network and hopefully given enough, you know, you can ask for something back, say, hey, I would really appreciate if you share this with your network. And it's so nice. And you know, I've had people that I haven't really necessarily even talked to recently send it to friends who have shown up and written down, you know, and I love it. I love when women are writing down their names of who they heard about it from. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you. You know, and so I try to do my best to show gratitude and, you know, to the people that are sending their others, because I really, that's putting a lot of trust in me and in the organization and the messaging and everything else. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So definitely being intentional. And I'm a huge fan of start with the end in mind.
Yeah.
That's, you know, 7 habits of highly effective people. That one is probably my favorite habit.
Yeah, it's because it just helps so much junk fall away.
Uh-huh.
You know, and really really honing in on what's important.
Yeah. And I love the statement about don't be afraid to ask. I think that's just, it's so true because you don't have to do everything on your own. And really the reason behind that network is that value and the reciprocity, which is ultimately you have someone to go to when you do need that support.
Well, yeah. You know, there was a post today, LinkedIn, said that 70% of people found their most recent job because of their network.
I believe that easily, so much.
Easily, right? And, you know, gone are the days of looking in the want ads. Like, I don't even think that exists anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, making sure to nurture that, like you said, and doing it intentionally is crucial to business, but also personal. And I think we're in an era, too, because of social media and email and everything else and being on 24/7, that you're going to have situations where, and more, work and life bleed into each other.
Totally.
People used to say, well, you got to be able to turn it off when you walk in the door. And it's like, no, you really don't.
Yep.
You know, because and especially if you're doing something you enjoy, you don't really need to, you know? So I just encourage people to be intentional and look at it that way. And that's what I would have to say.
That's really good. All right. So if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Sure. So I'm on everything. all of my handles are Sarah Grooms, MKE. So it's Sarah with an H, Grooms, MKE, like Milwaukee. And so that's my LinkedIn. That's my Twitter. That's my Instagram. That's everything. So I'm happy to take any of that. sgrooms@townbank.us is my email. And I love connecting with people. I love this city. I was born and raised here. I did a couple years in Madison. I'm very happy to live here again. And I'm always open to conversations about moving business forward, helping people personally, connecting. It's I just really enjoy it.
Very cool. Well, I will include the links to all your social profiles in the show notes. And hopefully some people reach out and connect.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, Lori, thank you for having me. Really, this is fantastic. Yeah, thank you.
Great conversation. I really enjoyed it. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Sarah Grooms for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.